How do we love mercy? And how do we walk humbly with our God? Well, our ministry through Fellowship Aid and International Relief is coined FAIR. And I know it's sort of cheesy, but how do we do our fair share in a world that has overwhelming humanitarian needs? Let me take you through a number of slides here this morning. Next slide really gives you... there we are. Nope, next one. Gives you what we're all about in the sense that we extend Christ's love through relief, rehabilitation, and development in our world. Our mission is all about alleviating human suffering and social injustice in our world. We do that through our vision, which is to partner to alleviate human suffering and facilitate social development in our world. You say, well, who do you partner with? We partner with people who have a passion to reach others for Jesus Christ. One of our missionary couples, Ricardo and Ingrid Castro, are in Spain because the Lord laid on their heart to go to this very, very tough country. One of the ways in which they are propelling the gospel forward is through gardening, a local community garden that will enable them to share produce, to share the love of Christ as they plant a ministry there. We partner through people, but we also partner through churches. Churches that cooperate with us support relief projects. The next two slides will show you. This is the island of Barbuda that was totally wiped out recently through Hurricane Irma. Barbuda, the population has been moved to Antigua. We're partnering with an organization to help bring relief and rebuild this terrible tragedy. The next slide is an earthquake that happened in Nepal. And again, we work with organizations that are on the ground, have local church presence, and give us the assurance that when we work through the local church, the money is going to go to exactly where it needs to go. But another way that our churches work with FAIR is through coordination. And coordination of existing aid programs. The next slide shows a supplement that is in the resource table in the display that I have there. You can take those. These supplements show you ideas that our missionaries say this will help us to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. It breaks it down into bite-sized pieces such that you could say, I don't have a lot of money to give, but I could give $5. I could give $2. And it shows you how you can achieve something for the kingdom. Another way that we do this is through our FAIR box or bank program and the Advent calendar, extending love at Christmas time. Young families can learn that they have it very good here in Canada. Teach their children just by going through their home. Wow, we have this many light switches. We have this many bathrooms. Oh, when I brush my teeth, I don't have to go somewhere a few kilometers away to get water. And as they do that, they deposit their money according to the Advent calendar into this box. It gives them a teaching tool that really enables them to say, I see that others have it worse than I do, and I can help them. You might want to be part of that in your small group or your Sunday school. A third way that collaborating churches partner with FAIR is through joint aid programs such as you will see in the next number of slides. This is a picture of a security wall that was built around an orphanage in Honduras. This is Casa Hogar in Honduras, and a church in the West heard of the security problems at our orphanage there. The men's ministry decided it was not good that drug people and gangs came in and slashed workers' hands and tried to get food and whatever they could. They raised $80,000. This does not do justice to tell you that perimeter was a kilometer in length. That was a big project for these guys to undertake. The next slide shows a garden, and at this same home, a church from the East Coast has partnered to go year after year and develop sustainable growing veggies that will be healthy in the diet of these young children. The next slide shows, I love this slide, just happy school kids in Haiti. In the Don Don region of Haiti, these children are fed some 600 meals a day. And as a result of getting one hot meal a day, these kids have had in their school, their attention span has gone up. Their school marks have skyrocketed. So I hope you can see with me that FAIR is doing so much more than just providing an education. FAIR partners with like-minded organizations. The next slides show us our partnership with Christian and Missionary Alliance, allowing us to provide for our fellowship churches if they would like to sponsor refugee families to Canada. And during the time since September of 2015, we've helped 26 of our churches touch the lives of 154 refugees through the private sponsorship program. FAIR is also involved in a partnership with International Justice Mission. Our most recent large project was a project that focused upon the lives of young children that are being abused in the Philippines through cyber sex trafficking. Family members, close relatives will take young children and put them in front of a camera, live stream a show to someone back in North America or in Germany. And these children's lives are, it was brutal for me to see. I met a young girl named Cassie, 12 years old. She was taken by a family friend, promised a better life. When she went to this new location, she found out it was not that. It was serving customers. And Cassie, along with about four other children, were kept in captivity for a number of years until she was found. The Lord found her through the ministry of IJM and rescued her. I met her in person. She's now 19. And to hear her confidently stand before a group of 2,000 people and ask us, "Will you fight for us? Will you pray for us?" touched my heart. Cassie today is hoping and dreaming of living a life she never thought would ever be imagined because she was reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Lebanon, we visited the Clementia Learning Center through one of our Baptist churches there. Our missionaries, Bashara and Rula Karkafi, Lebanese people with a heart to take the gospel to their own people, are giving us an idea to share the gospel for our Syrian refugee children. Syrian refugees are just pouring across the border into Lebanon. And so the next appeal, which you'll see there, is called Hope for Tomorrow. And we have a little video that we'd like you to see just about this appeal, give you an idea of what we do. Okay, no problem. That helps us with time, Sam, so that's not a problem at all. What we're hoping to achieve through this is to double in size the Clementia Learning Center, which is jam-packed with 60 students. We're hoping to raise $120,000 to provide this, completely outfit this learning center. One day as I was in the learning center, a little guy he's just having a hard time, and I asked one of the teachers what was going on. She said he had a nightmare. And his nightmare was this, that on the way to school, on the bus, bad people came on the bus and chopped all their heads off. That, my friends, is the reality that these little kids are living with that we have no idea about. We can help in all of this. And so not only are they getting a great professional education, they're getting the love of Jesus, the story of the gospel given into their lives. And we would ask that you would consider having a part in helping us at Clementia Learning Center. The last slide really gives you a picture of our contact information. You can follow us on social media and so on and so forth. And so please stay tuned to all the things that we are up to. We'd love to hear from you. If you have your device or your Bible with you, turn to the portion of Scripture that was read from Matthew. I'd like to spend some time considering what God's Word has to say to us this morning. Let's pray together. We ask this morning, Spirit of God, that you would take the Word of God and you would bless the people of God as you intend. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. This passage in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus underscores really this idea that we're to share our resources with those who have less than us. But there's more to it than just being generous. Disregard for the needs of the poor is presented as an evidence of a lack of faith, really an absence of faith. And so a refusal to alleviate the pain of the poor in the here and now becomes the criteria for one's final judgment before God. And that's not all. When followers of Jesus express their practical love, they also bring the touch of Christ into the lives of the poor. Christ is present when God's people are present and doing good as a practical expression of his love. So Jesus' directive here in these verses express generosity to people who are not in a position to really pay us back, share another meal with us. Think about your community. Think about where you are. And maybe some of your nearby neighbors who their needs are very limited. They just have limited resources. There may be a situation that you can pour your life into. A single parent maybe needs to have a night out and you can offer to care for children. Can you tutor a struggling student? Can you teach some vocational skills that will help? Or help your church to get on track for a ministry of justice and compassion. I'd like us to focus in on four key areas as we notice that there are two types or two groups that Jesus is referring to in Matthew 25. Let me just say very quickly, you'll notice that this to give context, the latter portions of Matthew's gospel is set in an area where there are parables that our Lord tells. And we know that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. If we're not careful, we can kind of get lulled into, this is just a story. It's just a story. Well, friends, I want to remind you this morning, this is going to happen. Jesus is peeling back really the curtain and saying, this is the end of time, and this is what's going to happen at the end of time. I used to love it when our teachers in school would say, class, this is going to be on the exam. Same thing. Jesus is saying, this is going to happen. Are you ready? Because what we see here is so common that it's going to astound you. Because the people that have no regard for the poor, the people that live their lives for themselves, they in no way have any idea that they're not doing what the Lord has asked them. Because they asked the question, Lord, when did we see you hungry? When were you in prison? And so here's the first thing that I want you to realize. Kingdom people are sensitive. They're sensitive. This is very important for us to note this morning. That as kingdom people, God's people are sensitive. It's the idea of attention, awaking to the need for justice in our world. Attention is the purest and rarest form of generosity. So said Simone Weil. Attention is the purest and rarest form of generosity. Now, in Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah, we know that he was the king's cupbearer. The story comes back about Jerusalem, the walls broken down, and what a terrible state Nehemiah's people are in. And he asked this question, how are my people? He was sensitive. He was sensitive. So as we consider these things this morning, we need to wake up to the need and the cause for justice around our world. Be attuned to it. Jesus spoke to this issue on several occasions using words and imagery that are impossible to misunderstand. You think of the story of the Good Samaritan. He made it clear that those who belong to him are obligated to help anyone in need. Friend, stranger, fellow citizen, foreigner, admired or despised. And as far as we're able, we are to see that the person's need is completely met. We are very, very happy when we can pull over and say, is everything okay? We're not so prone to say, here's my credit card, whatever you need, charge it. I'm extreme, I know, but this is the point that Jesus is making in this story, that we go to great lengths to see that their needs are met. In even stronger terms, Jesus taught that his people have a special obligation to help each other. In fact, he said to help fellow believers is to directly serve him. And not to serve them is to forsake him. That's what he's saying here. So that in the day of judgment, that service or lack of it will be the mark that separates the sheep from the goats. So it's this service or lack of it that is the true living faith contrasted with those of dead faith or no faith at all. So those that enter the kingdom will not be those who merely profess the name of Jesus, but those whose lives of obedience and service prove their profession was true. Came across an interesting story in a commentary by R.C. Sproul in the Gospel of John. He shares the story of a minister who was serving in Cleveland, Ohio, serving the poor. There for decades in the oppressed and addicted area of Cleveland. The minister had one associate helping him after the other. Year after year, it seemed, they would just come and they would leave. Come and they would leave. Naturally, Sproul was curious, so he asked, why don't they last? The minister said, disillusionment. They came out of seminary, came to the ghetto, but they wanted to labor for Christ where people were hurting. And they soon became depressed and left. And Sproul asked him, well, why have you been able to stay all these years? He said, because of the words of Jesus, the poor you have with you always. To which Sproul replied, well, every time I've heard anyone quote those verses, it's as an excuse not to serve the poor. He said, well, I understand what Jesus is saying is to say that I will never be able to eliminate poverty. Therefore, when I came here, I had no expectation that I was going to solve all these problems. I never thought I would eliminate poverty or that I would get rid of the drug traffic or the unemployment among my parishioners. I realize that for every person that is brought in out of the ghetto, more are brought in. If we get one person off drugs, five more get hooked here. My mission isn't to get rid of the poverty problem and all of these situations. My mission is to minister to people who are suffering from these things while they are here and while I'm here. What a statement. What a statement. Because we can get so disillusioned. We can get so overwhelmed with the needs of our world and say, what good is my part going to have in all of this? Friends, we need to do something locally. We need to do something globally. But we need to be doing something. One of the problems that we have is that when we seek to do a justice ministry or a compassionate ministry, is that we're not prepared to be changed by what we see. We're not prepared to really think that the poor have anything to teach us. We're very reluctant to start small. There's a Hebrew greeting, or a word that is a Hebrew greeting, shalom. You've maybe used it. It's more than a greeting. It really means nothing broken, nothing out of alignment. It's a prayer of blessing. I would encourage you to have a fresh look at the Lord's Prayer as it's prayed. We often pray it as a one-person prayer, but if you notice the pronouns that are in this prayer, it's us and we rather than me and my. And maybe you need to begin small by praying this prayer together. The very prayer starts by saying, Our Father. Well, this morning, as we think of God's kingdom people being sensitive and God's kingdom people being certainly sharing their lives as the early church did in Acts 4, as we think of God's kingdom people as being people who are selfless, let me wrap up with one story from a missionary couple in Cambodia. In fact, my apologies, I'm not able to stay for your fellowship lunch today. We're traveling to Montreal and opportunity for these missionaries on home assignment to get some film with them. Here's a couple. He is in his 70s. She is in her 60s. Nep is a dentist. She teaches in Phnom Penh. She's led over 80 of her students to Christ. They, before every practice in rural Cambodia of doing dental extractions and dental cleaning and so on for people that in no other way could afford dentistry, she shares evangelism explosion with them. Under a banana tree in the heat of the sun one day, she was doing this, and I sort of peeked as the prayer was being said, and I saw a woman with tears coming down her face. So I said, Dr. Knapp, what's this all about? He said, well, that woman said, what you were sharing from your heart touched my heart, and I want to know more. So how can contributing to a dental ministry have any impact other than touching someone's mouth? Well, let me tell you. They've seen over 400 people commit their lives to Jesus Christ. They have planted 4 churches. This couple, at this age of their life, had me run off my feet as we were going and sharing in the ministries that they had started. God will use us if we have the attention, if we have our eyes focused on what He wants us to be doing. I'd like to end this morning with a prayer of blessing. It's really a paraphrase from that special prayer that's in the book of Numbers. And so would you bow with me as we close this morning? May God bless you so that you may deeply know that blessing and bless others. May God keep you as you know God's embrace and then reach out to embrace others. May God's face shine upon you so that you may experience with others the warm light of creating together with God. May God be gracious to you so our practices of justice don't feel like rules, but like freedom and joy. May God's face turn toward you so you know you aren't left to do this alone. May God give you peace so step by step we practice moving together toward the flourishing of God's kingdom. Amen. Thanks for having me share with you this morning.